I invite you to 1 Corinthians 15, a little dovetailing with our 8:30 service. We're going to look at some more of these verses in regard to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said in John, "I am the resurrection and the life." We looked in our early service about the Lord Jesus, when he came out of the grave, it was not just a reversal of death, it was the defeat of death. And that death is defeated, and Jesus is the victor, and he passes that victory upon to all who come to him in repentance and faith. From 1 Corinthians 15, I'd like to look at verse 1, just a few verses, and then we're going to move a little deeper into the chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," good news, "which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, for what you will teach us, for the other verses we will be looking at. I pray that you will help us think on the death of Christ, what that means, and why it was necessary. Why did it have to happen? Thank you for loving us so much. Please lead us as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. For believing in vain, and to verse 2, unless you've believed in vain, and then he gets down to verse 14 and says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also is vain. Vain, empty, meaningless, noise without substance. It doesn't mean anything. But because Christ is the resurrected Savior, it means everything. The resurrection is certain. People say, like, and especially this time of year, which maybe bring up a sore subject, but, you know, there's nothing certain, there's nothing sure but death and taxes. Sorry about that, we're into April. Well, you could say death, taxes, and you know what else is sure is the resurrection. You know what else is sure? Everything that God says is sure. You can base your life on it. With faith and trust in Christ, you can build your life on that truth. And when this life ends and death comes to you, you go immediately into the presence of the Lord. At rest and peace and joy and fulfillment, that we live our lives chasing whatever fulfillment is. To the Christian, we find fulfillment in Christ. But when we get to glory, no more sin nature, no more sin tendency. We will worship God and love God as he created us to do. And it's And I've said this, I'll say it again. The Christian is not going to walk into heaven when death comes or the rapture takes place. You're not going to walk into heaven and look around and say, really? Is this really it? Come on, you're kidding me. No, we're going to walk into heaven and we're going to have our eyes open. We're going to say, wow, how could I have such a puny little brain? God is magnificent and He loves us. And He calls us to repentance. And He allows us to make our own choices. The good news of Jesus Christ, peace with God through Jesus, is available to every man, woman, and child in the world and is forced upon none. It is God's working in your life, drawing you to Him, and then your response to that, either in repentance and faith or not interested. You know, leave me alone. I'll take care of this later. But God loves us, and Jesus died for us. And when you talk about the resurrection on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, you can't talk about resurrection without talking about death, because without death, there's no need for a resurrection. Well, we don't like to talk about death. I know that. I understand that. But know this. The gospel is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. The preaching is not in vain. The preaching of the gospel, that is not in vain. Because Jesus lives. And we do, in fact, serve a risen Savior. Move ahead in your chapter, please, in 1 Corinthians 15, where we were in our first service in verse 20 and following. Death is not the conclusion of life's cycle that's run its course. Death awaits us because of our sin against God. It is a judgment upon us. But Jesus came and took that upon Himself so that we could be forgiven and declared righteous. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There's an aspect to death. The first thing I want to look at this morning is that there's two aspects of death, and they're not really competing. They're just different. Death is natural and unnatural. Makes no sense. But think about this. Death is natural because Adam sinned. And sin brought death into God's creation. Sin brought death. Part of death, of course, is all that leads to death, including sickness and disease and all of those things. And it's a body that will wear down and wear out and cease to function. It's natural. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, not over and over again, but once to die. And after this, the judgment. And Scripture's clear. Now, I will remind you, God loves us so much, He tells us the truth. That's a fact. God loves us enough to tell us that we're sinners separated from Him. He loves us so much, He knows that there's nothing we could do. There's no works of righteousness that we could do. So Jesus came. And we celebrate His resurrection because He died for our sin and was buried and rose again the third day, just according to the Scriptures, just like the Bible says. Death is natural in the fact that we're all people, we're all human. And, you know, I don't know if you watch much television, I wouldn't recommend it, but there's always somebody's new supplement they came up with. And if you take this supplement, that's going to fix this and fix that. And if you took everybody's supplements, I don't know how you'd pay for all of them. But it seems like if you listen to these people, if you take whatever they're selling, that you'll just never get old and never get sick. And, you know, and just it doesn't work that way. As Dave David said, and Joshua, which to me is one of the most intriguing statements in all of the scriptures, is as at the end of their life they said, I go the way of all the earth. So there's people trying to make that not happen. They're trying to figure out how we won't go the way of all the earth. So death is natural in that we all die because Adam sinned, we sinned, and we do sin. Yet death is unnatural, which means we weren't created to die. We weren't created to die. We were created to live and have fellowship with God and love God and serve God and worship God. And that would be the greatest life we could live. So we know that death is natural in the fact that it happens to all people. It's unavoidable. You know, do what you can. Take care of your body as best you can. And, you know, do what you need to do. And no problem there. You know, stay as healthy as you can for as long as you can. But we know that what time does, what age does. But to the Christian, even though we know that's out there, we also know that Jesus is victorious. And he came out of the grave. He wasn't brought back to life. He came back new life in Christ that we can have, never to die again. But we agree that death is it matches our character and our makeup. It's inevitable. It is certain to happen, and it is unstoppable. And then I'll tell you, there are many, many people, they have just taken the position, I'm going to ignore it. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm not going to think about it. I'll think about anything but that. Well, I can understand it's not a favorite topic, and it really should not be a favorite topic. But because it's real, we need to face it honestly in light of the Word of God. And we need to thank God for the deliverance that He gives. You see, everybody believes something about death. And I do believe in our culture today, there's a lot of people that just, it's just not part of their thinking. They refuse to think about it. But everybody believes something. And for some people, their belief is, I'm not going to think about it. Other people don't, you know, believe, they just believe, you know, you when you die, you're gone, it's over, and it's, but we all believe something. But how much better is it to believe the Word of God, to believe the one who created us, who knows us best and loves us most, who sent Jesus into the world to die for us? Death may be ignored, but never escaped. That brings us, of course, to the resurrection. The grave is not the end. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Bible tells us. I want to just read a couple verses from the beginning, Genesis 1:26 and following. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was very good. Death is unnatural. It is the result of sin. It's a result of Adam, and then, of course, we are guilty as well. We are the image bearers of God. And death was not present until Adam sinned. Death was not present until, without sin, there's not death. And you think about Jesus, holy God in flesh, died a sinless man. The sinless God-man. But he died bearing our sins. Our sins were placed on him on the cross, and he made full atonement for those sins. He did what we could never do. Paid it all. And he died. Bearing our sins. Because sin brings death. Jesus did not become a sinner. He is eternal, holy God. But when your sin and mine were placed upon him, he bore those sins in his body on the tree. And he paid that sin debt in full, and he died. He would not die for his own sin because he had none. Without sin, he would not die. But because of our sin on him, he did die. He shed his blood. He took our place. Go with me to verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is the enemy of any man, every man. But death has been conquered. Death is no one's friend. It is unnatural. It's hard. Death is hard. Even for the saint, the believer in Jesus Christ, the born-again one. Even for the person end of life struggling with serious health issues and even in pain, death is hard. I've never done a funeral that hasn't been hard. I've never done an easy funeral. In 30-some years, I have probably done 10 weddings. I'm kind of particular about what weddings I perform. It is a local church service. I've done funerals I couldn't even count. From a newborn baby to a 100-and-some-year-old lady. Then about everything in between, car accidents, suicides, AIDS people. But there's just, there's no such thing as an easy funeral. They just get to you. Because death is real, and death is hard, and it's unnatural. But then you, as a believer, you turn and you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think about that verse, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Because of Christ and because of the resurrection, the Word of God, it's all true. It's all real. And there's victory over this enemy. Called the last enemy of man is death. Back up a couple verses. We're not doing this in order, but verse 22. Touched on this in the early service. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Everybody faces physical death. The Christian, death is a separation. And because we're human, we have sin natures. We sin willfully, we sin by choice. We say we're sinners by nature and choice because we're in Adam. So we will die physically. That is death. Also in Adam, we're separated from God. That's spiritual death. So there's a day coming outside of Christ, when Christ is not our Savior, if we've not come to Christ, we're not born again, John chapter 3, there's a day coming not only of separation of body and soul, but there's a judgment coming which will be separation from God for all of eternity. That's why God tells us in His Word that in Adam we all die. That's the spiritual death, being separated from God, but it's also the physical death. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. That is a spiritual life that will never die. So though the Christian may physically die, the body may cease to function and wear out and die, to the Christian, we are alive in Christ, then immediately go into the presence of the Lord. So how can somebody be in Adam? It just basically means to be a human being, to be a person. From Adam through the thousands of years to here we are. So everybody's in Adam. Well, who's in Christ? It's those who have come to Christ, recognizing our own sin and the separation that we have from God, and then turning from that and turning to Christ in faith, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You see, death is defeated. It's defeated in the sacrifice of Christ, and it is approved in the resurrection on that great resurrection morning. This is God's eternal redemptive plan for mankind. The resurrection of Jesus is the defeat of death, and we have victory through Him. Yes, the Christian may face a day of body and soul being separated, body in the grave, soul to glory. We're separated from loved ones, we're separated from friends, we're separated from life on this earth, but we're in the presence of the Lord. Our body is in the grave until the resurrection morning, when our bodies are resurrected. Because the separation of body and soul is temporary. Temporary. The body of the believer will be resurrected to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then the rest of the believers are going right up behind them. The body of the unbeliever will also have a resurrection. But this will be the resurrection to judgment. Because without Christ, we are yet in our sins. See, every one of us is guilty. There's not a sinless person in this room. We're all sinners. But there are people, and I would pray everybody in this room, but I don't know everybody's heart, but that have been born again by repentance and faith in Christ, and they're at peace with God. In Christ, sins forgiven. We talk, you know, sometimes, heaven's going to be amazing. It's just be amazing. But you know what's bigger than that? Being at peace with God. What more could anybody want in life than to be at peace with God? The Creator God who is holy. You can be at peace with Him today through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The unbelievers, there's a resurrection to judgment. We see some of this in Revelation 20. I just want to read a few verses from Revelation 20. Verse 11. They saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. which has no hold on the Christian. These are people without the Lord. They don't want God. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the books that are brought forth, it's not like some people mistakenly believe that it's like, you know, Lady Justice outside the courthouse with a blindfold on and the scales of justice are blind and, you know, the evidence weighs it out. And people think that, some people think, that there's a set of scales in heaven, and everything you did good on goes on this side of the scale, everything you did bad goes on that side of the scale, and if you can tip the scale in the right direction by being good enough and doing good things and good works, that's going to tip a little bit in your favor and the door is going to pop open and you can walk in. Remember, religion controls people. Jesus sets us free. And when you dangle good works before people to earn their righteousness, you have a lot of control over people. When you tell people that God loves you and Jesus died for you, come to Him and be born again. It's from God through Jesus for you. It is a personal decision. It is a personal relationship. It's not earned, it's not bartered, it's not bestowed by a religion or a church. It's from God to Christ for you, and in that there is freedom. The works that will be judged, basically it means this in just maybe a simple form. There will be no excuse before God. Well, you know, I did this and I did that and I did the other thing, and the books will be brought out, and there will be no excuse. The wickedness of man. We're all wicked. We're all sinners. But in Christ, we are redeemed. That sin is forgiven. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." It's what the Bible says. The second death is when the unbeliever is separated from God for eternity. The second death is a final death. There's no resurrection from that death. And the second death has no claim on the Christian. You will never be separated from God, now or forever. Resurrection Sunday. Easter Sunday. It's a big deal in many parts of the world. But you look at the scripture and you realize it is the work of God through Jesus Christ for your redemption. He loves you and He always tells you the truth. And it's up to each individual whether or not they're going to believe that truth. I encourage you to believe it because it is truth. One by one, the descendants of Adam have lived their short lives and been carried away by death in the myriad of its frightful forms. Human history is just filled with people being born and people dying. Generations come and generations go. Jesus is the constant. Jesus is the Savior. There was a fellow a few years ago that brought much confusion into the world. And he's called the father of psychology, but we might call him the father of confusion, Sigmund Freud. Here's what Sigmund Freud wrote about this. "And finally, there is the painful riddle of death, for which no remedy at all has yet been found, nor probably ever will be." End quote. Sigmund Freud. The father of psychology, the father of confusion. "And finally, there is the painful riddle of death. Jesus went there. He tasted death for everyone. And he came victorious over sin and death, victorious over the grave. Freud says there's no remedy. Jesus paid it all. There may not be, in world terms, a remedy, but there is a solution. And the solution has a name, and that name is Jesus. He's the solution to the sin problem in your life and in mine, and what's wrong with the world. Only through the Bible can we understand the cause of death and where man goes after death, and how to have certain victory over death through saving faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." The resurrection, Easter Sunday, is not just a religious day, a religious festival day. It's the heartbeat of the Christian, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The atonement, the resurrection, and all that God has done. The resurrection is the validation of redemption. It is the Christian hope, and it is the guarantee of our future resurrection to be in the presence of God by the glory of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses. Powerful, powerful scripture. And we do admit we do not like to talk about death, but it is a reality that we will all face. We can face it in our own philosophy. We can face it by ignoring facts. Or we can face it by refusing to face it, whatever that means. But I thank you for Jesus, who is victorious, who came forth out of the grave, who is the first fruits of them which slept. The first of a new kind, a resurrected people. And I do pray for this group gathered this morning. So good to have people come on Easter Sunday and be involved. And we just pray for their spiritual needs, where they are in their relationship with you. You know hearts. We can't see people's hearts. We don't know where they are, but we pray for them because we love them. We want them to know you, to know your love and to know your mercy, and to know the peace that you bring. And Father, thank you for this time. And again, those that have come, we pray for the rest of this day. As people go out to restaurants or go home to their Easter dinners, just have a wonderful day together. We thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.